After you have made the two rakats wajib of tawaf, then you go to the multazam. Go to the multazam, and the multazam is that section which is between the door of the Kaaba Sharif and the Hajr Aswad. That is the multazam, between the door of the Kaaba Sharif and the Hajr Aswad. That is where Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his hands against, and he put his cheek on it, and Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teared and he cried, and Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made so much of dua there. And even on the Hajr Aswad, Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was standing, he had his cheek against the Hajr Aswad, and tears were rolling down his cheeks, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was standing nearby, he was also crying. When Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished, he told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala that this is the place where tears are to be shed. So this multazam, it is a promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that any dua that a person will make at multazam, I will definitely grant it. But I've explained this on many occasions, that granting of the dua doesn't mean that you will get exactly what you have asked for. Because we will ask for lots of things, but Allah ta'ala in His wisdom knows that that is not good for us. But He will accept that dua, and then He will give us something better, or He will remove some calamity, some bala that was going to come upon us, or He will store it for us in the hereafter, but the dua will be accepted. And it is the experience of a large, large number of people that they made duas at the multazam, and they saw the results and the fruits of those duas within a short period of time. This sinful servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in this house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, making shukar of Allah ta'ala, tahdis e ne'mat, not fakhran, Allah ta'ala must protect me from pride and fakhar, but just to give you targheeb and just to encourage you, because my ustad Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Fakhruddin rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion he told us, main fakhar se nahi kehta, lekin aap logo ko targheeb dene ke liye kehta hoon, not out of pride, but just to encourage you, I want to tell you that maine 28 din mein Quran Sharif hifz kar liya tha. In 28 days time I bi-hearted the holy Quran Sharif. So he didn't say it out of pride, it was just for encouragement's sake, and he gave us the story that his father used to make tarawih in one masjid there. His father passed away on the 1st of Ramadan, and he went there, so they were worried, now who's going to perform tarawih, because he used to make 20 rakats. So he said, I knew two paras, in the morning I used to learn one and read it at night. The 28 days went and I have completed the Quran Sharif. So it is just out of tahdis and ni'mat, shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that on many occasions I saw that after the multazam dua, it doesn't take time when you see the fruits of that dua. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows it. And if not immediately, then within a few days or few months or 1-2 years, you will see the effects of that dua. So go and attach yourself to the multazam and cry there and picture the day of qiyamah. It is as if we are saying, oh Allah, my hands are up. How when a person holds a person up with a gun, he says, don't shoot me dead, my hands are up, I'm surrendering. So we must surrender ourselves and say, Ya Allah, I have committed so much of sins in my life, I have committed so much of sins that I was deserving of the worst of all punishment. And if you destroyed me, I was deserving of it. But Ya Allah, you gave me this ni'mat and this opportunity to come to your house, and here I am putting my hand against this door and against the multazam, and Ya Allah, I'm seeking forgiveness from you and asking you to wash away all my sins and bless me with prosperity, with happiness, give me this and give me that, and forgive the ummah of Nabi alayhi salam. Make as much dua as you can. And all the muhaddithin from the time of that Rasulullah stated that hadith, the muhaddithin have been repeating that. As Shaykh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi also in his Fazail al-Hajj has written that it is the experience of this sinful servant that the duas that I made at multazam, Allah ta'ala accepted. So it is just following that pattern that I'm telling you. I'm not a muhaddith, but what I'm telling you is that do not be afraid to make dua, and do not feel that I'm such a great sinner, how will Allah ta'ala accept my dua? That is the place that Allah ta'ala has invited us to make duas, and He was prepared to forgive us, and He wants to reward us, and He wants to give us the fulfill our heart's desires. So why should we not ask there? So make as much dua as you can. After you're finished with the multazam, then you go to the zamzam. There again, what is zamzam? The well which sprang at the feet of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. It is a miracle water. Whatever niyat we drink that zamzam water, Allah ta'ala will fulfill that niyat of ours. So many muhaddithin and so many others have drank that water with different intentions. Allah ta'ala fulfilled their niyat. If Allah ta'ala can grant that to millions of people, why cannot He grant it to sinners like us? Why should we be afraid to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? We do not feel ashamed to beg of people, then why should we not beg of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? People are going door to door begging. People do not feel ashamed to go and be chased away from homes and from doors. People who go for collection, they know that what they go through. Lots of people chase them out from the shops and businesses. But they are prepared to endure all that kind of humiliation. So why should we humiliate ourselves in front of people and beg at their doors and ask them from their treasuries? Why should we not ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what shortage is there in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's treasury? So Allah ta'ala has invited us, now bring zamzam and make dua, Ya Allah, give me this, give me that, forgive me, shower your rahmat upon me, accept this hajj of mine. So in this way, make plenty of dua after the zamzam. That dua which is masnoon, if you know it, recite it, and it's better to learn it. Simple duas, we spend so much of time over other things, in the plane instead of gossiping and wasting our time. In 6 hours time you can learn all these duas, and from now until you depart also you can learn it. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifa'an min kulli da. Such a simple dua. You're asking Allah Ta'ala for beneficial knowledge, for abundance in sustenance, and cure from all diseases. So if you don't know that dua, then say it in the language you understand, but learn it. It's a nur of the dua will come in there too. Ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for these things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked. And after the drinking of the zamzam, face the Kaaba Sharif and make dua. And drink zamzam as much as you can. I always say until you're to your heart's content, drink and drink until you can drink no more. Zamzam hasn't harmed anybody. It's got no virus, no the germs, and it doesn't require any chlorine and purification and sterilization and all kinds of things that take place with other waters. It is not like the water of the Jamna Ganga, that when they drink that water, there's so much of filth in there, that when they examined it, they found so much of germs, unlimited number of germs. Zamzam water is not like that. Zamzam water, drink and drink as much as you can. What harms us is that ice cold thing that we drink. Because of that ice, that is what catches our throats and we get a lot of problems. But if you drink pure zamzam, there is no problem at all. Most of the hajis who suffer with sore throat and other things, it is because of that ice which they put into that zamzam there. But if you can find the tap which is just pure zamzam, just directly from the well, then drink to your heart's content. It has got great amount of benefit. And I have been saying this over the past years and I am repeating it tonight. Especially if a person has got drug habits. He is a drug addict or he has got some other bad habit and weakness. He's taking tablets or he's taking drink or and he has damaged his whole system and he can't seem to get out of it, then go there and drink nothing but zamzam. Not cold drinks, not juices, not all the other lovely drinks that you get there. It's not haram, I'm not saying it's haram. I'm saying that drink nothing but zamzam. Do that for 7 days, 8 days, 10 days that the person stays there. If he does that, and he's making dua that, Ya Allah, I'm drinking this water so that you clean my system out. And you clean me of this habit also. I assure you, I guarantee you that if this person is sincere, he will return from there, leaving that habit behind him. I have sent some people, I will not mention any names. Alhamdulillah, when they returned, they can't stop thanking me. They say, Maulana, we tried so much of tablets, we tried rehabilitation and this and that and what we tried, nothing worked. And these 10 days that we spent there and drank nothing but zamzam and we made the dua that you asked us to make, and then I told them after that in every place you make that dua, and then when you go to Rasulullah's Raza, then there you say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am your ummati, but unfortunately I took on to this bad habit. It is a weakness of mine, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has said that whosoever comes to you and he seeks forgiveness, and Ya Rasulullah, you also seek forgiveness on his behalf, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. So I'm asking you to intercede on my behalf and ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to rid me of this habit. And Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, many of those people have come back completely leaving that habit. So this zamzam, drink as much as you can. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will definitely give you that blessing of that zamzam. After the zamzam has been drunk, then for the 9th time you make istilam again. You just go there and make istilam. And then you leave for Safa Marwa. It's 25 to 10 now. Do you want me to leave it at Safa Marwa or complete Safa Marwa and or take it on from here tomorrow night? Safa Marwa kar le. Safa Marwa, when we are going on to Safa, then it is simple again. You just go on to Safa, you don't have to climb right up onto Safa. Just from where you can see the Kaaba Sharif. between those pillars you can see the Kaaba Sharif. Just about halfway on Safa you climb, you face the Kaaba Sharif, and before that when you are just there, then you make the niyyah that, Ya Allah, I am making sa'i between Safa and Marwa, 7 rounds, make it easy for me and accept it from me. That's the same niyyah everywhere. And this time you don't raise your hands up to the ears or like that. You raise your hands like how you raise in dua. And you just say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Simple. If you don't know anything else, that's all. Abduhu bima bada Allahu ta'ala, inna safa wal marwata min sha'airillah. All that if you don't know, then just make the niyat and just say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Any of those things you can read. And then face the Kaaba Sharif and make a lot of dua. Again is dua. From there, you start moving towards Marwa. In between the two green lights, you run a little. The ladies will walk the normal pace. Here the running doesn't mean that it must be a marathon sprint or something like that. Some people are tired, they are sick, they are weak. They too try to run, and after that they hold the chest and sit down. So if you can't run, just walk. But try to walk a little briskly. Those who can run, then they run a little. Hazrat Hajira ran between these two places. Therefore, it is a remembrance of that. From there, you walk again your normal pace. In between, you read Rabbi Ighfir Warham, Wa Antal Azzul Akram, or any third kalima, fourth kalima, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, any zikr, tilawat, Quran Sharif, until you read Marwa. When you reach Marwa, again you face the Kaaba Sharif and you make dua. That's one round finished. It doesn't mean you must go to Marwa, come back to Safa, then one. Lots of people who are ignorant, they come from different countries without learning, then they go to Safa, Marwa, they come back to Safa and they say one. So when they finish about 10 rounds like that, they are nice and tired and so they collapse because they've gone far beyond the limits. So when you reach Marwa, it's already one. When you come back to Safa, it's two. And the same procedure is repeated both sides. Until the 7th round, you'll finish up in Marwa. After you have finished at Marwa, now it is time to remove your ihram. So those who are doing Hajj Tamattu, they will remove their ihram. The Qarins, they won't remove it. The Mufrids, they won't remove it. So the person who is making Tamattu, now that he has finished his 7 rounds of Safa Marwa, now he must remove his hair. And this is something that I always repeat, that I found in Hajj trips and Umrah trips, that the most difficult thing for the South African Haji and the European Haji and the American Haji is the removal of the hair from the head. I don't know what is so difficult about it, but some people actually, you can see their faces have changed color and they are about to tear. Hi, mere baal chale gaye. Kya hoga mera sar ka? So why should we be so concerned? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given dua to those people who shave off their hair. Second time again when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, what about those who cut their hair? He said, made dua again for those who shave their hair. Third time again he made dua for those who shave their hair. Fourth time he made dua for those who cut their hair. So it's permissible to cut, but those who've got full hair, for the first time they can put a number 1 machine, it's permissible. But after that they too will have to shave when they make the next umrah. And that is a sign of a haji. When a person makes hajj and umrah and he comes back with a big hair, straight away it doesn't even click in the heart that this person has made umrah and hajj. Yes, if he went around India, Pakistan, spent 1-2 months and came and then again his hair grew, it's a different thing. But do not be afraid. Allah Ta'ala will become happy. You will get the dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And until the hair is not cut to the length that is necessary, it is not permissible to associate with one's wife, to apply perfume, to wear clothes. So therefore it is compulsory that this shaving must be done, or if the person had big hair, then we'll say that for the first time if you put a number 1 machine, it is permissible. But why go for that? Go for the best. In everything we want the best. And for many people who go for the first time, their hair hasn't seen the sun, the light of the sun in their hair since childhood days. When they were born, the mother shaved it for the first time. After that, they never shaved. So let this head enjoy the sunshine and apply a little bit of oil and it will shine beautiful. And the next crop will be wonderful. So don't worry about losing the hair. Once you have shaved your head, you are now out of your ihram. Just one masla before I come in. that if you have completed everything, your Safa, Marwa, your Tawaf, everything is completed, then it is permissible now to shave your own head. It is permissible for the wife or for the lady to cut her own hair. You don't have to wait for anybody. The lady just has to take her hair and wrap it around her finger and just one clip, finish. Simple for her. Just wrap it around her forefinger and cut it. She doesn't have to wait for anybody to do that. But provided that you have completed everything. If you haven't completed and you cut somebody's hair, then they will be done. But if you have completed everything, then yourself you can cut your own hair. The lady can cut her own hair. There's no harm. And once you have cut yours, then you can clip somebody else's too. So those who have got little experience of running the machine, then there's no harm if you clip somebody's hair there. But what you must be careful about is that you must not submit your head to those fly-by-night barbers and those amateurs there. Because if you give your head to them and he's sitting with a sharp jack razor there, then the danger is that instead of your hair, he starts cutting your head. So that's the only thing, you must be a little careful. Watch around the others' heads first, how it's going. After that you can sit down.